how do you see the bourbon industry growing? Obviously, we've seen this fantastic growth, but you're looking at it from the global perspective now. Mm-hmm. Where are we headed 5 years out?
I think 5 years out, given that we are in year three of what I think is a very long upsurge, I think where you're going to have growth is U.S. because it's such a strong economy now. Significant growth in Japan, which is also recovering and is incredibly interested in bourbon, partly because Suntory, the biggest player there, has bought us and has already actually made us the number one bourbon literally in 2 years. Growth in Latin America, Brazil. Northern Latin America is going to be tough until Venezuela comes back. It's a huge Scotch market. Russia, up until recently, was a key growth area. And Eastern Europe is actually quite strong. And we're seeing our investments in Brown-Forman's in Mexico pay off. You know, they're not a bourbon, but certainly American whiskey is growing quite a bit in Mexico as well.
But how do you make that happen, given that all of your production facilities around the world, including Japan, are running at full capacity? I know you're not an operations guy, but how do you make this happen when your sales guys don't have enough juice to sell?
So we are managing countries that are at scale. So if you were to look at the number of countries that are actually going to be able to get bourbon, we're pulling back. If you're not at scale, then you're not going to get the liquid. But for makers, we're actually going to be with a third still up and going, which won't help for 5 years, but in September of this year. Booker, no, we are not quite at full capacity yet, so there's actually a capacity we had. And you certainly remember the recession of 2008, 2009, so we have surplus, and then the issue is going to be, how do you play that surplus? Do you blend it down? Do you have premium line extensions? And we're doing a little bit of both. And certainly Brown-Forman is as well. So I think some of the bigger players actually do have stocks. And where it's kind of constrained is with the smaller guys who are really constrained on their liquid supplies. So,
but you're also responsible for the Scotch whiskey side of the house too. And those guys are also running at full capacity. How do you get them either expanded or get the juice to be able to flow to meet the demand?
So same thing. U.S., as an example, is one of the most profitable markets for Beam in terms of Scotch. So we're getting all we need here. And then other countries that are smaller or aren't as profitable have to take pricing up to actually earn the right for the whiskey. It's interesting because you get this pool of juice and you want to put it where you've got a market that's important, a market that's profitable, and a market that has some scale. And I think that's the reason you're seeing prices go up in not just here but in other countries as well. For us, and certainly for competitors, you want to get your prices up so you can earn that liquid, because to your point, there's a finite supply of it. So
are we going to see more no age statement expressions coming out? I know that the last Laphroaig that came out, Laphroaig Select, no age statement. We've seen a new Ardmore that's no age statement. Are we going to see more no age statements coming out of Scotland?
Out of Scotland, I think you will. In Japan, you're going to see your first one coming in July of this year. Actually, in the U.S., and they're going to be launching in April in Japan. First no age statement for Hibiki and everybody. I mean, Scotland, Japan, U.S. are struggling with this. And one of the things that's been, I think, encouraging is brands like Macallan, which first did it, have actually been quite successful because the liquid's good and the way they blend has actually given them a good taste. Plus, the concept around the naming has been really interesting to consumers. And I think talking people away from age statements is helpful in the sense, I mean, it's an easy way to think older is better, but brands like Maker's Mark or Woodford Reserve haven't really traded in age statements and are doing just fine.
Tell me about the process of integrating the former Beam employees and the former Suntory employees, especially over in Scotland, where you're trying to coordinate the Morrison Bowmore folks into the existing Beam workforce.
Actually, it's gone really well, partly because of the footprint we each had. And so we have our, specifically in Scotland with Bowmore, the head of what we're calling U.S. Advocacy, which is a new spot we created is a former Beaumont employee. I don't know if you know Jamie McKenzie, so he's here in New York. And then over in Scotland, we've actually integrated a lot of the Beaumont employees into our regional marketing structure, and the operation's staying as it is. So in terms of the sales and marketing, the head of Beaumont is now our head of global travel retail, David Wilson. So I don't know of too many people who've left. There was a famous Scottish distiller, Ian McCulloch, who is now back over here.
Ian McCallum, sorry.
I just met him. But he's working with Simon Brooking here, who is our guy on Laphroaig. So for the most part, we've been able to integrate everybody. And I think, again, it's the footprint is very complementary. And I think as evidence of that, Matt Shattuck is running the entire enterprise. And we were the purchased, not the purchaser. And they were looking really Suntory to have our management run the company, which we've been doing.
One final question. We are starting to see more of the Suntory products in the U.S., and a lot of those products had only been available in other countries until just this past year. Are we going to see more of these whiskeys becoming available? You hinted at this no-age statement Hibiki that's coming this summer. What else can we expect to see, and can the U.S. expect to get some of these limited edition Yamazakis that have only gone to Europe in the past?
I think you will see a sherry cask in 2015 in the U.S. And absolutely the right point. We are now obviously directly selling our own products, and I think countries where Suntory wanted to invest in, they were giving that product, and specifically cities, really, London, Paris, which were really important to them, and New York. So you could get some of the products here, but only in a few cities, and now we're opening up not just the country, but more states and cities than they were operating in before, because it was a distributor. I mean, Campari was distributing for them before, and now, you know, we are the company, in fact.
I guess I lied when I said last question. One final question. Sure. You came out of consumer product goods at SC Johnson. What was the biggest difference for you in making the transition to bourbon and the cognac side of the house?
It was your first question. If you want more Windex, you put more chemicals and water together and you get more Windex. And that was a revelation. Like, well, wait a minute now. How could this allocation be what it is? And that's very different from at least the consumer packaged goods I was used to, is that there's a finite amount of supply and you have to manage it financially. You've got to manage it with marketing, segmentation, and pricing to be able to sell it, ideally all of it, but not so much that you run out. And that's totally different than anything I'd even conceived of. So that's the biggest difference.